Worship at Advent this morning. Congrats on getting up on time. And because of that, at no extra charge, you've earned a nap this afternoon. Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
Amen.
Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not make for yourself any idol. You shall not invoke with malice the name of the Lord your God.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Honor your father and mother.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit murder.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit adultery.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not steal. You shall not be a false witness.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Please join with me. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare thou those who confess their faults. Restore thou those who are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. The Lord Almighty and merciful Lord grant you absolution and remission of all your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of his Holy Spirit. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast love to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word, Jesus Christ, your Son, who with you in the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
God calls Abram, later known as Abraham, to leave all that he has known and strike out into the wilderness to follow God. A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless those, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree at Moreh at Shechem, and at that time the Canaanites were in that land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "To your offspring I give you this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on to the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Today's psalm is Psalm 33, found on page 4 of the bulletin. Let us read responsively at the asterisk. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Happy the people he has chosen to be his own. The Lord looks down from heaven and beholds all the people in the world. From where he sits enthroned, he turns his gaze and all who dwell on the earth. He fashions all the hearts of them and understands all their works. There is no king that can be mighty and saved by a mighty army.
The strong man is not delivered by his great strength.
The horse is a vain hope for deliverance. For all its strength, it cannot save. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, and on those who wait upon his love, to pluck their lives from death, and to feed them in times of famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Indeed, our heart rejoices in him.
For in his holy name we put our trust.
Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us
as we have put our trust in you.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. God called Abraham righteous because of his trust in the Lord and the Lord's own mercy and grace, not because of anything that Abraham did or possessed. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised, or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he receives circumcision as a sign, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe and have not been circumcised, in order that the righteousness might be credited to them. And he is then also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but all who also follow in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing, and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have written, to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom we believe, in whom he believes, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. The word of the Lord.
Gospel of our Lord according to John. I'll be reading from John chapter 3, starting at the first verse. I want to take you back, though, to the last verse of the psalm that we shared. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us as we have put our trust in you. John 3 is the story of Nicodemus, who was a highly respected religious leader of the day, and he was struggling with who Jesus was. He was not one who could put his trust in Jesus as the Son of God, as he claimed to be. So this is the beginning of his struggle. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you can do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered, Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and you don't understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Seated. This morning I want to talk a little bit about the gospel reading that I just shared. This was really early in Jesus' ministry. He had come to Jerusalem for the Passover. He had recently transformed water into wine at the wedding in Cana. He had driven money changers out of the temple already during Passover. An odd thing was, when he was in Jerusalem, he had no home, very much like when he was born in Bethlehem. There was not a home for him in the big city. And so he apparently likely camped overnight during these festivals on the Mount of Olives. And while he was there, Nicodemus came discreetly at night to talk with him. He was someone that was wealthy. He was a Pharisee. He was highly respected. Wasn't a priest, but he had great influence. He was a Pharisee, one of the key religious parties of the day. Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, Pharisees did. So when Jesus began to teach about that, he understood what that meant, but he hadn't, like the psalm said, yet put his trust in the Lord. This morning in my devotional reading, one of the things that I came across that I just love, one of the revivalists from the 1700s in our country, Gilbert Tennent, was speaking on this day about Nicodemus. And a part of what he taught was that he was a religious leader. Nicodemus was a religious leader, and yet he didn't have that personal relationship with the Lord that he said was essential for leaders. And a part of what he said was that many churches in that day were dead because they were being led by dead men who didn't have life in themselves in the Lord. And that was a part of the message. Other ministers were threatened, and many would not deal with Tennant. But he was one of the revivalists that were part of the Great Awakening that preceded the Revolutionary War that began to shape who we were as a nation. Keep that in mind. In seminary, in one of our Old Testament classes, the professor early on looked at my class. We were the first year guys in the seminary, and he said, and he was a man of God, but also highly gifted in Hebrew and in Old Testament theology. And he said, who knows that you guys might be the judgment of God on the church. And what he was saying was, he understood that many of us were there seeking a profession, but that we didn't have a relationship with the Lord that would allow us to speak to people about the truth of the gospel. And at the time, my peers, we laughed at that, how silly. But then years later, when I came to know Jesus in a personal way, I understood that many of the things that have happened in the church in my generation that have taken the church from a conservative understanding of Scripture to where virtually anything goes happened because of many young adults in my era in seminary who went to the far left side. So think about that. Nicodemus was like that. He was like that class in Old Testament where I was sitting. He was like many of the ministers in the days of Gilbert Tennent, who understood the Bible, read the Bible, but didn't understand what it meant for them personally. So Nicodemus comes at night, and there are three incidents that are told about in John. This first one is when he comes at night to talk to Jesus. He believed that Jesus was a good man because of the miracles, but he didn't understand yet that he was the Messiah that the Old Testament talked about. And Jesus berated him a bit and said, "Wait a minute, you're a teacher of others, and you don't know God's word and, in effect, who I am?" It was an amazing thing. Pharisees were people who were religious. If you had a church full of Pharisees, if the empty pews were filled with Pharisees, here's what they would be like. They would attend every service, even the services after daylight savings time. They would all tithe. They would all work for the church. They were the ones who would be at the forefront of every project. But they would also be those who would, in the book of Revelation, be thrown into the lake of fire because they didn't have God in their heart. They were religious outwardly, but inwardly they were cold. So that was Nicodemus. He wanted more, but he didn't grasp yet that Jesus was what he needed. The second incident was in chapter 7, where there were a crowd of people that Nicodemus was a part of, and they were saying, they were agitated that Jesus ought to be arrested. And for the first time publicly, Nicodemus spoke up and said, "Wait a minute, you haven't even heard him. How can you arrest someone that you haven't heard his testimony?" So that was the beginning of taking a little bit of risk. In my journey from being like the ones that Gilbert Tennent spoke about, being like Nicodemus, Tammy and I, from our first and second churches, would visit our home church, Christ the King. And they would be singing what we called sappy songs, like we just did, "As the Deer Panteth for the Water." And we talked about that afterwards. How silly. What's emotion got to do with anything in the church? We felt like we understood the principles of the Bible, and that was enough. But then slowly things began to change. And for Nicodemus, things began to change. He walked closer. He'd now spoken publicly in defense of Jesus. And then in John 19, after the crucifixion, he and Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate, asked for the body of Christ, and took it. Joseph had a very expensive tomb that had never been used that he put Jesus' body into. And Nicodemus, who was also a man of wealth, as I had said, brought spices, burial spices, so that when people walked by the tomb, they wouldn't smell a deteriorating body. They would smell the spices. And he brought, depending on which gospel you're reading, between 75 and 100 pounds of spices. In today's value, that would have been worth between $150,000 and $200,000. So this was huge. They were making a great investment in the tomb, but also in the spices, because they had both come to a place. They weren't searchers anymore. They were disciples. They were openly caring for the one that they believed was the Son of God. And so then the question is, we understand the good news of Easter. What happened to Nicodemus? Now, in the Bible, it doesn't say any more than these three episodes, but outside sources, which are never as reliable as the Bible, are never held equivalent to the Bible, but they can give commentary, teach that after the resurrection, that Nicodemus was kicked out of the Pharisees because he had gone away from tradition, and that he also was banished from Jerusalem. He used to serve on the Sanhedrin, which was the religious ruling body in the city. They kicked him off that. So he went secretly. He took a bit of a risk in the crowd. Then he took the body of Christ and ultimately was a disciple. And as a result, It cost him standing in the community, even the residence where he lived. But it was worth it to him because he had found the one that he could trust, the one that actually changed his life on the inside. And that's the walk and the story of Nicodemus. And as you think about faith, I want you to think about four different aspects of faith as I understand it. Jesus talked about being born again. And I see those four aspects as trust, receive, know, and obey. First is that thing that the psalm talked about. You begin to trust that what Jesus says is true. For myself, in my journey, 8 years in college and seminary, translating the Bible from its original languages, but didn't know the author. And slowly, as I began to trust the revelation of the Bible, it began to change me on the inside. In the same way, those of you who've had babies know that when your child is born, they begin to know your voice and feel the warmth when you hold them, and it gives them peace. That's a part of what trust in Jesus means, beginning to trust him in a personal way, regardless of what's happening in our lives. And then that second component is to say, Jesus, I understand your word. I believe your word. I want to receive you into my life as my Savior and Lord. And for me, that transformed everything. I knew the word. I could translate many parts of the word, but I didn't know the author. And when I received him into my life, like Nicodemus did, it changed everything. Suddenly, I wasn't outwardly religious. I didn't need to wear a robe to look like I was religious. I had him in my heart, and it changed everything. So first, trust and receive. And then the third aspect is to know. The Greek word for know is like the knowing between a husband and a wife, gnosko. It means that we are involved in each other in a spiritual way. And that's a part of what coming to faith means, that I begin to know him, I begin to know his ways, I begin to know the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then the fourth component of faith is simply to obey. I now understand God's word, that it's not principle, but it's life. It's a way to live that honors God and also is actually good for us. So we go from trust to receive, to know, and to obey. Jesus said, and the basis of the law, we recited the law earlier at the beginning of the service, the basis of the law is simply to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. That's the summary of the law in Jesus' words. So consider this, comparing the old Nicodemus to the new Nicodemus. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Jesus said you had to be born again to discern the truth of God's revelation. And then in Titus 3:5, so important, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's the miracle of being born again. Not because we start obeying. We start obeying because we have been regenerated. It's a work of God. So the new birth, it's a miracle. It's not a decision. It's a miracle that happens on the inside. And so I want to encourage you to keep growing like Nicodemus. Don't retire from growing in your faith. And finally, a thought. If you're like me, we have family members that are not walking with Jesus, that aren't even searching like Nicodemus. You can't bring them to that place. You can pray for them. But just as importantly, you can live what you believe, because your very living, the way you deal with adversity, with forgiveness, with financial challenges, is an indicator to them that there's something different in you than what is in them. And don't diminish that, because we are walking witnesses of what it means to be a Christian. Let's continue now our service with the Nicene Creed. Why don't you stand and share it with me? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
Please join with me in the prayers of the people found on page 7 of your bulletin. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
May all be one.
Grant that every member of the church may truly and humbly serve you, that your name may be glorified by all people. We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons, especially Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops Hollingsworth and Love, and for Pastor Paul, that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world,
that there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake,
that our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble,
that they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest. Let light perpetual shine upon them. We praise you for your saints that have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. We especially ask that you remember those on our prayer list and pray for them all throughout the week. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives that we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement that you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let's share that now with one another, if you dare.
Good morning. As Paul said to you hardy souls that put your clock ahead 1 hour, you were welcomed by a beautiful day outside. Announcements, Peter.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Two quick reminders. One is, gentlemen of Advent, we gather on the 16th. The day after the bishop's visit, for men's night out at TGI Fridays in Westlake at 6:30. Hope you can make it. Good food and good conversation for all. And more importantly, on the 21st, which is 2 weeks from Saturday, at 6 o'clock, we'll have the great chili cook-off. So bring your best chili. The 21st, that's a Saturday. And last but not least, Brother Bruce, do you know what the 16th is?
Yes.
Besides men's night out?
Yeah, the 15th.
True. It is also the last day that we can register for golf at Bobolinks for the Senior Men's Golf League.
Amen.
So. Bring on the sun, bring on the warmth. I want to get out on the golf course. I'm tired of hibernating.
Amen, brother. Next Sunday, we're going to try to get Joanne to send out an email blurb to everybody, but one service, 10 o'clock, the bishop will be here. If there's somebody that needs a ride, maybe you can give them a ride. Try to get as many people here for the bishop's visit. The vestry will meet with him Saturday. Intercessors, after the service, will meet and go over the list and pray for those. There will be somebody in the back to pray with you if you have any needs. If there's no more messages, peace of the Lord be with you.
As we prepare for the Lord's Supper, let's present our offerings to Him.
Thank you.
continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who was in every way tempted as we are, yet did not sin, by whose grace we are able to triumph over every evil and to live no longer unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us and rose again. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, and to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. Our Lord stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, also after he'd given thanks, took into his hands the cup, and he gave it to them and said, "Drink of this, all of you, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Please join with me in the prayer that our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. These gifts of God are for the people of God. I invite you to come in faith and receive. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now that peace of God that passes all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Folks, appreciate this very special day that we've been given today as you go in peace to serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.